This is Newsday, quarter past the hour. The European Union has approved the release over 6 years of $2.6 billion of aid for member states, so it's Europe giving to Europe, for the states dealing with the growing migrant crisis. The largest sums will go to Greece and Italy, the so-called front line, where most refugees first arrive in Europe after their boat trips from Libya or, as is increasingly the case, from Turkey. There's also been, as we've been reporting, a furious war of words over migration into Europe. The UK has been accused of being racist for its treatment of migrants in Calais in France, according to the UN. The UK Foreign Minister, Philip Hammond, replied by saying, "We can't take every poor African that wants to come here." Meanwhile, 50,000 migrants, mainly Syrians, we understand, have arrived in Greece, the new migrant route, in just 1 month. And Greece, of course, is totally incapable of looking after them. Still, the migrants come. You may have heard on this programme the moving story of Christiana, Nigerian, living in Libya for 3 years, 8 months pregnant. She ended up taking the risk of crossing the Mediterranean with the smugglers.
"Even if I know the water was this dangerous, I would have still taken the risk to leave Libya, because it's not a place to stay. There is no law, no security, no human rights, nothing. Anyone can do anything to you. The women get rapes, different things. You get robbed by taxis and suffering everywhere. They don't have rights. They treat you like animal once you're black. It is better for most people to die in the sea rather than to die in Libya, because every day we receive people dying every time. So everyone is ready to take the risk just to get to Italy."
Oh, we've been covering that sort of human story for months. Finally, the EU is putting more money into, well, it says it's going to provide more accommodation, improving asylum processing procedures and better integrating those who arrive, as well as speeding up the return of those not allowed to stay. But does it actually happen like this? Let's turn once again to a voice of reason in this field, Professor Alex Betts, political scientist, director of the Refugee Studies Centre at the University of Oxford, who's often put us right on this subject. Welcome back to the programme, Alex. First off, thoughts on this $2.6 billion. Is it going to make a difference, especially this idea of improving processing procedures, which is always promised, but we have yet to see it? Is it going to happen?
It's a step in the right direction. The European Union has to have a common asylum system, and the system we have at the moment is ill-adapted to the kind of mass influx we're seeing across the Mediterranean. At the moment, we have something called the Dublin system. The Dublin Convention means that there's a fundamental inequality in European asylum policy. The first country an asylum seeker arrives in, Greece or Italy, takes the overwhelming bulk of responsibility. And in theory, there should be compensation mechanisms, relocation of people during an emergency, and a European refugee fund. Up to now, those have been far too little, and it means that inevitably the majority of people are going to Italy, Greece, and the frontline states in the Mediterranean. That creates dispute, argument between governments, and while Europe squabbles, people die.
Is this going to make a difference then? Is $2.6 billion enough?
I think one of the problems is it's a significant amount of money, but it is money. It is financial compensation. So it moves finance, but it doesn't move people. And I think really politically, one of the main sources of distress for governments receiving people is the inequality in the numbers of people they're receiving. 175,000 people at least arriving this year in Italy and Greece, 50,000 coming to Greece during the month of July. These are massive numbers, particularly in the context of even the UK being up in arms over 3,000 or 4,000 coming across from Calais. And so I think money is not the absolute solution to the problem.
Right. Can I ask you for a couple of other possible solutions? The numbers are one thing, and that's very interesting. When politicians say there has to be a line drawn, where on earth do you draw a line? As you said, there's a huge crisis in the UK because of 4,000 migrants trying to get in from Calais to the UK. There's this even bigger crisis with 50,000 arriving in Kos from in Greece from Turkey. At what point do the numbers become too much to cope with, or a crisis, or really serious? Does anyone actually have an idea?
Well, we have to get a sense of perspective. I mean, if we take the Syrian crisis, there are 4 million refugees. Lebanon, with a population of just over 4 million, has around 1.2 million Syrian refugees. Now, that's over a quarter of its population. It means over half of its school-aged population are Syrian refugees. So that's a crisis. That's a serious, significant number of people. Compared to that, what we're facing in Europe, even in Greece, is relatively small. I mean, yes, it's a challenge, but it's nothing compared to Turkey, Jordan, Lebanon, and the numbers they're actually taking. 95% of the world's refugees are actually in countries that neighbour conflict and crisis. They're not coming to Europe at all. So we need a sense of perspective. we also have to recognise that when people are refugees, you can't draw a line. We have an absolute legal obligation under international law to admit people onto our territory if they face a well-founded fear of persecution. And that's really the mark of a civilised state, to admit people coming from countries like Syria, Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, who can't go home because the minimum conditions of human dignity rely upon them having access to someone else's territory. So it's an absolute obligation if people are refugees. If they're not, if they're other groups of migrants, we don't have the same obligations. But really, I think we need a sense of perspective, and we can't simply draw a line and cut people out if they're refugees.
Many thanks once again, Professor Alexander Betts from the Refugee Studies Centre at the University of Oxford.